Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Everyone, and welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by the man of many names, but you know him best, of course, as my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, what's up?
What's up? Your city gave me a sinus infection.
Oh, that's interesting, because one of the last times I traveled out of the city, I came back and got a sinus infection.
Well, what happened to me was just like, in New York, everyone cranks the heat up real high for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I went to a restaurant and the thermostat was set to 76, and I'm like, now that's ridiculous. But so, like, the dry air gave me a nosebleed real bad that was just going down my throat all day, and then that got infected, and now I'm full of snot.
Yes, it's a lot of old buildings in New York that are hard to control the heat.
Yeah, that's true.
In them. As I sit in my apartment currently, with it very hot. and this episode is a little bit of a ticking. One of the episodes, usually this mainly happens in the summer.
Yeah.
But it's happening now because when the temperature gets, I would say, from 30 to 45 degrees outside, my heat is still on full blast, and my apartment retains heat very well. So it becomes very hot. And so currently I'm hot. This episode is a little bit of a ticking time bomb to see if I pass out.
Yep.
In the middle of talking about Diana.
All right, that's where you're staking your prediction, is Diana. That's
yeah, I don't think we have any Diana to talk about, unfortunately.
Oh, shit.
But, you know, it may just be a sweaty episode for me.
You know, like, I will say, flying with a sinus infection is a wild experience that I would not recommend. There was a point where I was like, am I deaf now? Did I go deaf? Is snot coming out of my gums? Because it sure feels like that. It's like the pressure changes fucked me up real good.
The first time I went to Japan, I got a cold or something when I was there. And flying back on that long flight,
ugh,
not feeling well and like stuffed up, I was like, this is horrible. It was very bad.
Yeah.
Because you just have the effect of like, oh, I'm going home, my vacation's over. So you mm-hmm. would be like, ugh, this is horrible. And then it was even more horrible because I wasn't feeling well.
Yeah.
And also I had reversed it where going there, I had had a really long flight to start. It was like 15 hours and then like an hour and a half. and leaving, it was like an hour and a half and then 15 hours. So you're like, oh, I just took a plane and now I have to take a much longer plane. Which I then learned my lesson, because the next time I went back, I did the opposite.
Yeah, no, that's the good way to do it.
Where I flew back to Montreal. So then the Montreal to New York plane is very short. I mean, still annoying that you're like, ah, I've flown all this way. Oh, time to get back. Another plane for 5 minutes. But yeah, well, Kelly, I hope you recover.
Oh, thank you.
Having just had a sinus infection, they're very annoying.
Yeah, it's not great. Like, that's the thing. I feel fine, but all of a sudden it's like, hold on, I need to blow my entire body weight out of my nose real quick.
I mean, mine was just like, it wouldn't go away.
Yeah.
Like, at night I would be like, ah, okay, it's finally going away. And then the morning I would wake up and it would start all over again. And I'd be like, well, back to square one.
Yep.
So anyway, but one thing, Kelly, I know that makes you feel better is great Joshi action.
That's true.
And we got a lot to talk about on this episode. But before we do, of course, we got to get in the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. Follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. Follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really appreciate a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to this very show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. All right, so let's get into it. The big show for this week that we are going to be talking about is the Tokyo Joshi Max Hart Tag Team Tournament Finals, which happened on February 14th at Corican Hall in front of a Max Hart final record 732 fans, which I found very interesting.
Yeah.
I will say it's the record. I believe their previous record was 650-something, but last year they did like 540.
Yeah, last year was not a great number.
Last year was like, and it was like, well, they did just run on January 4th, but evidently people just weren't interested.
I guess.
You know, I think it's interesting because you would look at this card and say, well, they must have come for the main event.
But
my posit is still, and I've talked about this already on the show, I think Miyu is a draw.
Yes, I think so too.
And I think she is pulling some people in here, and I think combining her, you know, I could say, oh, also maybe it's Yuki Arai challenging for the title. Again, we've had how many years now of Data?
Yeah.
That it doesn't seem like she moves anything. And
I
it's
mean, you
like,
could you could easily say it's like, well, Aja Kong brought them in too, you know, at that point.
Sure. But just interesting as we go through the show and we talk about maybe things that will happen in the future. You know, 732, I'm not sure that it's Uber Eats and Mizuki and Uta Takami pulling in 732 fans. Right?
I think you're right on that one.
But anyway, let's get into the show itself. The show started with the two, not youngest wrestlers, but most inexperienced wrestlers, in Ren Kanatsu defeating Shion Kanzaki in 5 minutes and 57 seconds. Ren getting her first ever victory in Tokyo Joshi. I was thinking, Kelly, how many wrestlers in the history of wrestling do you think there are who wrestled, I'll say, for more than 1 month and never won a match in their career?
So, like, they only wrestled 1 month and then retired?
No. I'm saying, like, I'm not counting someone who shows up for, like, one show, is like, this is my rookie debut, and loses, and then is like, I quit.
Okay.
Like, 1 month is sort of an arbitrary divider, but you know, they always talk about like, oh, you know, Ren has been a rookie since June. And now it's the close to the end of February, although it was the middle of February for the show. And she gets her first win. If she had retired a month ago, she would have wrestled for 5 months and never won a match.
I feel like that's going to be a more common occurrence in Japan than in the States, at the very least.
Also, what would be the record of the person who wrestled the longest and never won? If someone knows that information, let me know. Not for any reason except for I thought it was interesting. Like,
yeah, I would like
is
to
Is there
know.
Anyone who wrestled for years and years?
There's got to like, be at even least like, some comedy act.
Even like Stalker in Dragon Gate, he won sometimes. Like Sakura Hirota sometimes wins matches.
Yeah, but there's got to be some like career jobber that worked in the territories that never won, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, having nothing really to do with this match, but just it got me thinking because other than that, I thought this was solid enough. Was competent. You know, I was glad that Ren's top rope move got the finish. Cause I think it's been a little odd that she does it in most of the other matches. And then they're like, a spectacular thing and moving on. Now. I'm like, yeah, it is amazing. She can do that. You know, one of the very few people who could probably do it in Tokyo Joshi. Like, it should be a big deal.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just a drop kick, but, you know, I was glad that got the finish. I think they both did well enough. There was nothing where I was like, ah, this is two very young wrestlers. So at the end of the day, opening match, two rookies, about what you would expect.
Yeah, I didn't think this was anything spectacular, but like for how inexperienced they both are, it was good.
The next match was an 8-person tag team match. It was the double duo of Kelly's favorite team, Kelly's new favorite team, the Bumping Gritters.
I want to know what a gritter is. Is it supposed to be glitter?
Didn't we talk about this last episode?
Yes, but no one confirmed, so I'm saying it again.
Okay. Someone reach out to Kelly and Susan.
Yeah. Is it gritters like gritty or is it glitters like sparkles?
And they teamed with the tag team of Kiss Kick Slash, which is Kaya Toribami and Miyu Yamashita. By the way, Bumping Gritters, I didn't even say who's on the team. Himawari and Chino Suzuki.
Teaming with Kaya Toribami
and Miyu Yamashita to defeat Chika Nanase, Hyper Misao, Kakeru Sekiguchi, and Kira Summer in 7 minutes and 43 seconds. I was happy to see Himawari get the win. Other than that, again, a match, not too much to talk about. The match started with the Hyper Misao team, I'll call them, trying to present Valentine's Day gifts to Miyu Yamashita, and then, of course, attacking Miyu when she couldn't decide whose gift to accept.
I was very surprised that it didn't end with all of the Valentines were cold spray that were going to be sprayed at her.
I did like the one of Kakeru Sekiguchi being like, I don't know you. But I want to know you.
Yeah. I don't know you, but I like your vibe.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, I think there was really not much to say. This was a sort of get some people on the card and also for the Bumping Gritters and Kiss Kick Slash. That's a horrible thing to say on a.
It's a bad name.
Kiss Kick Slash. And I believe the slash is a literal slash.
I think it is, yeah.
Not the word slash.
No.
But good to get them, sort of two teams that didn't really exist before the tournament, get them some more experience. I mean, as we've talked about, I sort of like the Kaya Miyu team.
Yes.
To have Kaya do something. Haku on commentary was talking about, you know, Kaya is taking a step forward. So, you know, again, I'm assuming on English commentary, he's just there like sort of creating the headcanon in his mind, and it's not the promotion being like, talk about Kaya Toribami in this match.
Yeah.
But that was my hope, that he's seeing it and hopefully something will come of it and maybe they can take a chance on her.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I like, this match really kind of put the thought into my head at first, and I think the rest of the show solidified it for me. I liked how they kind of spread out the veterans across the card in this show. It really gave juice to the undercard matches, where it's like typically like a four on four tag, it would be mostly rookies. And I mean, and it's still a lot of young wrestlers, but it's like, hey, Yamashita and Misawa are here too. And so that adds a lot of juice to these matches.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with Chika and Kira, because they seem the most sort of nothing is going on wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Not with themselves, but it sort of feels like, oh, they're just the, hey, we need two more wrestlers in this match. Okay, it's going to be the two of you.
Yeah.
Like the other younger wrestlers, obviously, like Uda was in the main event. Toga had a title challenge. You know, all these wrestlers. Haru was in the match one up. So it's just interesting that they don't seem to really have much direction now.
No.
So interested to see what happens with that. I think they, like Kira, was on English commentary for the majority of the show after her match. So they may see value there, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was a six-person tag team match. The trio of Haru Kazushiro, Ryu Mizunami, and Yuki Aeno defeating Max the Impaler, Palm Harajuku, and Raku in 11 minutes and 51 seconds. Kelly, I have something very blasphemous to say.
Oh, goodness.
About this match.
Oh, my God.
And that is that I wish at this point that they could untie Max from Palm.
Yeah.
It's just a thing where it's like, oh, in the middle of the match, Max, like in Ryu Mizunami, or even Max and Haru, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then it all goes back to serving this, like, I'm a monster, I'm a child.
Mm-hmm.
Thing, which we've been seeing now for two years, right?
Yeah, two or three.
It's just sort of like, I think this is a thing recently where I think I've bristled a little bit more at the Tokyo Joshi comedy, because I think the biggest thing about the comedy in Tokyo Joshi is they're like, oh, this is funny. We are now going to do this
forever,
as long as we possibly can.
Well, there, even Haku brought it up on commentary, and I don't know, I can't tell if he was being facetious or not, but Raku was doing the going to sleep spot, and he's like, ah, she's been doing this for 8 years. It never gets old. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
At least with one move, you're like, okay, wrestlers do the same move. Like,
yeah,
that's the way wrestling. So I can forgive, like, oh, she does the going to sleep because that's her move. It's like, you know, doing a, for some reason, I can only think of, it's like doing the rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that happens every match. It's a little bit longer than doing the rock bottom because there's a whole process that goes there. But it's just like the story of Max and Palm, they're a team. Oh, they're a sort of unlikely team. Can they win the tag titles? The answer has been no. So then the story is just sort of like, oh, Palm wrestles with Max and Max, you know, does all the offense. It's like, okay, I get it. And we're still doing... Just because I think there's so many more interesting things I could do with Max.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's such a difference from everyone in the promotion that putting them up in that style, that styles clash, is interesting to me. I'm like, yes, I would love to see Max versus Ryo Mizunami singles match. That would be fun. But I'm like, but it's not going to happen because we need to see this tag team again. You know, it's a little bit more forgivable because there was a lot of, you know, Mr. Haku talked about this. He was like, oh, and we're seeing throughout the card a lot of these tag teams that were tagging during the tag tournament because this is the finals. I'm like, okay, but I don't believe that in a couple weeks they're going to be like, oh, Max is doing all these singles matches.
Yeah.
So it was just a thing. And, of course, leading into the next match, which we'll talk about in a second. Yeah, that was my main thought. The match was fine. As I said, I liked the Max, Rio, Max, Haru sections. I thought they were fun. Other than that, I thought it was just what it was.
It was far more straightforward than I was expecting. Like, I had this marked as the goofball match, and it was kind of not. It was just them running their usual spots, which, I mean, they are goofball spots, but it was, there was no complete nonsense at any point in this match. It was just kind of normal stuff. So I was kind of surprised at that. I thought it was fun enough, but fairly unremarkable. Always good to see Mizunami back.
The next match was for the DDT Iron Man Heavy Metal Weight title. Aja Kong winning the title, defeating Mihiro Kiryu in 6 minutes and 58 seconds. And please, Aja Kong, take this belt wherever else you can take it. That is not Tokyo Joshi.
Is this the most normal match that has ever been held for this title?
I mean, I don't know the history of every title defense of this belt.
Like, this was just a match.
Yeah, I mean, this was the Aja Kong Tokyo Joshi match.
Yeah, it wasn't. Another one I had earmarked as the goofball match, and it was just pretty straightforward, which is not at all what I was expecting, and was pretty psyched to see that.
I do wish that Aja could come out in one of these matches and just demolish someone in like 30 seconds.
This is the match that should have been.
Because it's like, I get it. All the arguments are going to be, oh, well, you don't want people looking bad, whatever, whatever.
It's Mahiro.
These Aja Kong matches in Tokyo Joshi are all exactly the same.
Yes.
She comes out. Oh, my God, she's so scary. She's beating them up. Oh my God, she's going to win so easily. Oh, wait, it's a comeback. It's a momentary comeback. Oh, and then she wins. They all are exactly the same. And I wish there was, you know, whoever, they could come out and go, oh, I got you in 30 seconds. See, that's what I can do. Because now the establishment is, okay, this match is not going to matter for the first 5 minutes because Aja's going to get offense and then the person's going to come back. It has to happen. It happens every Aja Kong match now. So I'm just like, it's just the formula. Again, it's the formula, and the formula is like, this is what we're doing and we're never changing.
Taylor, I regret to inform you that Rika Tatsumi has beaten Aja Kong for the Iron Man Heavy Metal Weight Championship.
I did see that, but as long as it doesn't go back to me.
Taylor, I regret to inform you.
Oh, no.
It's going to go back to Mihiro.
It's just like, enough. When did she first... Okay.
Mihiro is on her 15th reign.
Yes.
Let's see.
But it just feels like this has been going on forever. And it's like, oh, she loses the title. Oh, she gets the title back.
Her first reign was in August. August 23rd.
Oh my God. It seems it's been much longer than that.
Who she beat.
So it's been 6 months.
For it. Yeah.
It's been 6 months.
And
she has 15 reigns. Yeah. It's just like, I'm good. Thank you. I'm good. Just and Haku was on commentary being like, who knows? It may never leave Tokyo Joshi for quite a while. And I was like, no, don't tell me that.
Just I always forget that cage match is in German, and then you'll see things where it's like, oh, Rika Tatsumi lost the title to Shohei Ohtani Bilderbuch.
Okay.
Ken Oka's Weiss tank top.
Well, I guess the ring announcer had it and then lost it to a stopwatch. I think that's what Haku was saying.
Is that what a Tiki Trank is?
I don't know. You don't have Translate on your browser?
I could. It's just
because I think German's a pretty straightforward, like...
Search Google for Tiki Trank.
I believe the stopwatch is Stoppuhr.
Ah, okay. Tiki Trank is some sort of drink mix.
Oh, interesting. Hyper Me Dramatic Dream Go. Is that that's not the
that
bike?
That must be
is
the it, bike.
Is that the full name of the bike?
I guess. So. Oh yeah, Stoppuhr. That was Rain 1803.
Yes. Now we're on Rain 1806. All right. Well, we'll see. It will probably come back, but I don't want it. No more, please. Well, I also am now in the Mihiro is boring category.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get it. She's like a lovable loser. It's fun when she gets hit with the bike, but it's like, there's nothing here.
That is legitimately the only thing I would keep her around for, is to get hit by a bike.
It's like, oh, is she sort of funny? I guess. Is she funnier than your other comedic person, Hyper Masao? I don't think so.
No.
Like, I don't need 9 comedians in a promotion. I need, like, 9 okay comedians. I need one good one, which would be Hyper. Anyway, that was that match. The next match was... a tag team match. The duo Daisy Monkey, Ariso Endo, and Suzume defeated Sarah Phoenix and Shoko Nakajima in 9 minutes and 49 seconds. Kelly, to you first.
I really liked this. I thought Sarah Phoenix fit in super well. It was cool that Suzume is keeping the rope walk face buster. And just a fun match. I went 3.5 on it. I enjoyed this.
Yeah, good to get Daisy Monkey back in the win column, although based on later events, maybe that doesn't matter.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I thought, again, I hate to repeat myself, I thought this was fine. I thought Sarah Phoenix was passable. I didn't leave the match thinking, I can't wait to watch her wrestle again, but I didn't leave thinking, oh, she embarrassed herself.
She has incredibly strong creator wrestler vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and other than that, I mean, really not much to say. I mean, this is pretty typical Max Hart tournament stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like every year we're like, yeah, this card is usually... pretty bare bones, and actually this one is less bare bones, but fine, you know, fine. The next match was a preview of the upcoming Princess of Princes title match at Grand Princess 26. It was Miyu Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi defeating Mifu Ishida and Yuki Arai in 17 minutes and 55 seconds. Kelly, there's really only one place to start in this match, and that is Miyu Watanabe fully getting dropped off the apron.
That was sick. Like, this match gave me so much hope for that main event, because if these two are just going nuts and doing spots off of the apron to the floor on third from the top on this random Kuroken, like, they might go nuts, and I thought they both brought a great intensity to the match. So I am 1,000% more excited than I was before seeing this.
Yeah, they're clearly angling for something, because on yesterday's show, I don't remember exactly when it happened, Yuki won with a submission and then wouldn't let go after the match, and then did some interview that was like, you know, I don't want to do it, but I got to do what I need to do to be good enough to win. So I'm like, this is an interesting
cool
development. I think I would have liked to just see Rika pin Mifu in this match instead of Miyu getting the pin. Because it was a bit weird that she gets dropped on the outside. The camera's like with her and she's like, ah, she's like screaming in pain. And then like 4 minutes later, she's getting the pin. It's like, and Haku said this on commentary, he was like, this is not what happens in these matches. Like,
no.
Getting dropped off the apron. So I'm like, you should sell that as like, wow, that's crazy. And you can have the same result, just have Rika pin Mifu. It's the same thing. You know, it's not Miyu getting the win, and maybe the story they're telling is Miyu is so strong, she can still win if it doesn't matter. I don't know. That could be the story. But I thought it would have been a better sell of what happened to be like, yeah, Miyu, you know, it took it out of her. You know, it really hurt. She was very injured and, you know, managed to get the win, but, you know, she didn't get the pin. So we'll see. But yes, I would agree. One of the rare in all of, not speaking of Tokyo Joshi, in really all of wrestling, the rare version of the preview match where I do leave being like, oh, that was very effective and I'm more excited.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time you're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. Okay, moving on. This I was like, oh, all right. Miyu's going to, you know, get beat up here.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, we've talked about it, Kelly, on the show about how Yuki Arai is, in her wrestling generally, sort of timid,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And maybe this will also help have her be less timid.
Yeah, give her an edge.
I mean, do that kick, do the finally, and actually hit the person.
Yeah.
Very hard. That would be great. But, you know, not a blow-away match, the rest of the match, I would say, but very solid and obviously notable.
Mm-hmm.
For that moment, so definitely worth a watch to me.
It was like one of the most exciting 3.5-star matches I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's like this is not a blow away. It's not the top of the card, but it serves its purpose very well.
Yeah.
So very good. Then the semi-main event was our only title match on the show. Well, no, that's not true. The Iron Man, the only the only Tokyo Joshi title on the show. I'll say that instead of the other things I was going to say. The International Princess title match, Mirai retaining, defeating Toga in 10 minutes and 24 seconds. I thought that it was mostly good in that it went pretty well and Toga looked like she belonged. It wasn't a home run match, but it felt like it was a test for Toga and she at least passed it. Other than that, I wasn't super blown away by it. I did like Mirai's lariat at the end where she really got Toga. But solid. But again, one of those, hey, this is a big chance for you. And I think Toga passed.
Yeah, I came away mostly disappointed by this match. It just didn't feel like a title match to me. Just stuff kind of happened. It didn't really feel like it built well. And then it kind of just ended. I don't know. I wasn't super into this. I thought it was fine enough, but I was fairly disappointed in it from these two.
I think the post-match sort of gives away what the whole point of this thing is, which, you know, I think having Toga be in a match and sort of be like, okay, you've gotten your feet wet, you've been in a title match, is like all well and good. But it seems to me clearly that this whole thing has been building towards former partners explode in Mirai and Suzume.
My notes say I'm going to be so mad when she beats Suzume.
Like, it's weird because it seems the obvious story is Suzume wins.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what's going to happen.
But it seems weird to me that she would have had it, lost it, Endo has it, loses it, and then Suzume gets it back?
Yeah. That's that, and that's what tells me that she's losing this match.
Unless they're really slow rolling the Daisy Monkey return, which I think they could be doing.
Maybe.
And they're like, well, we need to keep these people near the top of the card. And, you know, Mirai holds it. She would hold it for another month or so. And, I mean, she could lose it to Suzume. I could see that happening.
I don't think it's going to happen purely because I am going in expecting to be mad. And if I'm not mad, I'll be very happy. Also, Mirai, please leave those dark-ass losers at home. If you're going to make someone from Michinoku Pro come out with you, it better be Shinzaki or Sasuke. Leave the dorks at home.
Yeah, I didn't know who those Mario Brother looking...
The Yappe Man!
...members were.
They're the ones that just kind of like run around during the Great Space War and help set up spots.
Oh, sure. Okay. Sure. Yeah, I am defending the honor of Michinoku Pro. I'm like, okay, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't blown away by the match, but I thought it was just solid enough that it's like, okay, Toga, you've done it. And so now, if she had another match in the future, I wouldn't be like, oh, is she going to totally choke it away?
Yeah.
The main event was the Max Hart Tournament final match, where the champions, Ober Eats, Wakano Uehara, and Yuki Kamifuku, became the first ever defending champions to win the Max Hart Tournament and becoming yet another team no team has ever repeated in the Max Hart Tournament, defeating Mizuki and Uta Takami in 14 minutes and 25 seconds. Kelly, my first question has nothing to do with the match.
Oh, great.
Is the beginning of the Ober Eats theme song made by AI?
I don't know.
Because that started playing and I went, this sounds like AI. And I think I was cued because in the VR before the match, they were talking about ChatGPT.
Oh.
They were like, rah, 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 ChatGPT. I'm like, what? And I was like, I don't like that. Because I think that part is AI, and not very happy. Other than that, I didn't really care about this match.
I think it was the best that Ober Eats has ever looked as a team. That being said, I still don't think the match was great. I was at 3.5 on it. I think them working with more of a heel edge, much like with Yuki Arai, is what they need to be doing. And having Uta around to fucking just ragdoll everywhere was perfect for that. Like, at this point, stick Ober Eats and Yuki Arai together as a heel unit. And I think that would be wonderful for all three of them.
I think the thing that Tokyo Joshi thinks that they're doing with this title reign is not actually what they're doing.
No.
I think they think they're elevating Wakana, and I don't know that that is the case.
No, I think... Yeah, they definitely want to be doing that with her here, and I don't think it's accomplishing it. I think she would be better served by working as a singles wrestler.
I also really had the tag... You know, Princess of Princess, I think we've had some quibbles in the past with that booking, but I think recently it's been very good. I mean, I think for the last probably 2 or 3 years, it's been very good. I think the International Princess, Kelly, I think will disagree with me. I think at the very least it's been interesting booking. I think it's been pretty solid, good booking. The tag division, there's just something missing. I mean, they showed the video at the beginning of everyone who's won the Max Hart tournament going back to 2021. 2021 was Neo Bushikigun, Saki-sama, and Mei San Michel. I'm going to take them as the point A. Kelly, besides Neo Bushikigun, 1-2-1 million, Daisy Monkey, and Hyper Masao and Shoko Nakajima, name another tag champion in that time.
Did Miyu and Rika Tatsumi get the titles?
I have no idea.
Oh. Damn it.
But really my point is, this all seems, except for the Daisy Monkey thing, which again, currently is headcanon for us.
Yes.
They won it. That was good. And we think, well, they must come back and win it again. Well, they just lost the tag tournament and one of them is challenging for a singles title. So that return is not probably happening for at least another 6 months, if at all. There just seems to be really no direction to this division. It's just sort of like, oh, we need someone to do something with. Oh, you. Okay, you're winning the titles. Okay, you're sort of done, and we want to do something with someone else. You're out. You know, the 1-2-1 million reign recently was good. You know, they had that good match with Masao and Shoko, but it wasn't really meaningful in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It was just sort of like, oh, here's two good wrestlers. They're good. Okay. You know, it just seems like it's sort of lost in this no man's, no woman's land, whatever you want to call it. I don't think I've ever heard the phrase no woman's land.
I mean, is there any greater, like, proof of this happening than the other team in this tournament finals being Mizuki and Uda, which is the most thrown together team, and I doubt we'll ever see them as a regular team ever again?
Well, and it's one of those things where it's like, ah, this team was put together because they were going to the finals and you needed someone to easily beat.
Yeah.
It's like, why did they not beat some other more established team? You know, it just is a strange. And look, we have to acknowledge the elephant in the room, that it's then made even worse by the fact that it was announced that Uber Eats will be taking on, what are they called? The
Iconics?
That's their WWE name. All I can think of is the Illumination, but that's wrong.
Illuminati.
The inspiration. That's what it is. And I have to say, it was funny. I was reading through the Dramatic DDT website. And the Dramatic DDT website is usually done in the form of sort of not sticking up or not, you know, not in the wrong way, but it's sort of in the voice of the promotions, I would say. You know, it talks about, oh, so-and-so is coming in and so-and-so is excited to face them or something like that. And even their discussion on inspirations was like, oh, God, like, why is this happening? I have to pull it up because I was reading through it and I was like, oh, even we can't get this into a positive light. But it's just like, what? Are people in Japan clamoring to see the inspiration? Are people in America clamoring to see the inspiration? It just is very odd. Let's see. Oh, okay. Here's from Dramatic DDT. Uber Eats said they wanted to face a tag team that are a big deal. They also said they wanted to have the best match on the show, and yeah, it's nice to want things. Like, the most sassy I've ever seen out of Dramatic DDT.
That's good.
But it speaks to the tag division. I'm like, you think, there's so little in this division that you book your tag tournament for the champions to win and then just get challenged by a random team that no one's really interested in.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the same thing. What was that British team or whatever? Remember them?
No.
That had that terrible tag team title match on one of the big shows.
Oh, fucking what is Nightshade and
Night. Yes.
And, some sort, I don't know, but yes, it was Nightshade and someone.
They were really tall.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I've got up the history of the titles right now. Mm-hmm. There have been 19 total champions.
Yes.
What do we want to go back to? 2023?
Well, do I have to name them in order?
No.
Bakuretsu Sisters.
I was just going through the, you know, yeah, we'll just go through and we can just discuss how most of these teams are just not here anymore. So we'll start at number one. You got the Miracilians, Shoko and Yuka Sakazaki, not a team anymore.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Neo Bushikigun, Azusa Christie, and Saki-sama, neither of them are around. Number three, the Muscle JK Strikers, Marika Kobashi and Rika Sakai, not around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Four, Mizuki and Yuka. Number five, Neo Bushikigun, Misao and Saki-sama. Six, Mia Watanabe and Rika Tatsumi. They held the titles for 370 days. That brings us to like the pandemic era, where now we've got the Bakuretsu Sisters, Nodoka Tenma and Yuki Ayano, not a team anymore. Then you got Neo Bushikigun, Mei Saint Michel, and Saki-sama. They've both retired to the woods. Nine, you got Magical Sugar Rabbits. 10, you got Saki Akai and Yuki Arai. 11, Wasteland War Party, Heidi Howitzer and Max the Impaler, which I completely forgot ever happened.
Correct.
Then you've got 1 to 1 million, then Magical Sugar Rabbits. Then it gets vacant, and I don't recall why. Then Free Wi-Fi wins. Boy, what could have been.
Free Wi-Fi!
What could have been?
Free Wi-Fi.
Then it's vacant.
Yes, for reasons we do know.
Then it goes to Ryo Mizunami and Yuki Ayano, which awesome team, loved them. Then Daisy Monkey, 1 to 1 million, Misao and Nakajima, and Uber Eats.
Yeah.
So a wide majority of their tag title winners are just not teams anymore.
The other member of that British duo was Rhea O'Reilly.
Okay. I feel like I've never heard that name in my life.
Well,
you could have just been made that up.
Yeah, but
yeah, it's Nightshade and Beans on Toast.
Anyway, I think the point is that you have a lot of people like waiting around, like you put some people together for this tag tournament, but like keep some people together.
Yeah.
Like Kaya and Miyu should stay together. Because the only way to establish tag teams is they have to wrestle together and not constantly be breaking up and doing whatever.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, okay, take Daisy Monkey. You can't pick Daisy Monkey. I forbid you. And you have to pick someone from Tokyo Joshi. Who should beat Uber Eats for this title?
Oh God. It's
there's like no picks.
There's no one.
There's no one.
It would be Ryo Mizunami and Yuki Ayano. Honestly, that would be who I would go with. But if not, Yuka Ueno and Haru, I would be all right with.
Yeah, but it's just such a weird division, especially as I think they've done very well in the singles divisions, that the tag division is just sort of like, we don't know.
God,
you
listen to this cursed match. Tokyo Joshi All Rise 23 Princess Tag Title. Free Wi-Fi defeating the team of Jerry Nagano and Moko Miyamoto. All gone.
All gone. Gotta pay for the Wi-Fi now.
Yep. Free Wi-Fi's last title defense was against Jinai Kai and Shaza McKenzie.
Kelly, we've seen a lot on this show. Our eyes have seen a lot.
Free Wi-Fi beat the Toyo Mates team of Mahiro Kiryu and Yuki Kamifuku, and I forgot, I really enjoyed that team. They were fun together.
Well, not together anymore. As with most teams. But anyway, that was the Max Hart Finals for Tokyo Joshi. What else has been going on in the world of Joshi? Stardom had a Korakuen Hall show on the 13th, Yuna Mizumori defeating Momo Kogo to retain the high-speed title. Marigold has set their 3D Trios title tournament finalists. That would be Darkness, the trio of Darkness Revolution.
Oh, good.
Misa Matsui, Nagisa Nosaki, and Rei Seto, who defeated Komomo Minami, Mayu Iwatani, and Victoria Yuzuki in 11 minutes and 58 seconds on February 13th. And opposing them will be Arina Yamanaka, Mai Sakurai, and Natsumi Shozuki, who defeated Sari Yamaoka, Shoko Kishino, and Yuka Yamasaki on February 15th. We'll talk about that show coming up in a few minutes. Seedling had a show on February 10th, continuing their singles tournament in the B block, as they're calling it. Ayame Sasamura defeating Sumika Yanagawa, and Nagisa Nozaki, good 2 weeks for her, defeating Miria Koga to advance in that tournament. So the two of them will face off later. What is coming up in Joshi? Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show on the 28th with a Wonder of Stardom title match and a Future of Stardom title match, Hanako versus Rana Yagami. And then the Cinderella tournament starts on March 6th. So that will kick off then. I don't believe they have announced yet who's in it and the matches, but we will stay tuned for that. Seedling has another show on February 28th, quick turnaround, but that will be a minor show. Marigold has a Korakuen Hall that will be headlined by this scintillating match, Victoria Yuzuki versus Chika Goto for the United National title. How many revolutions do you think Chika Goto going to get on that swing, Kelly?
Maybe a Darkness Revolution.
Okay, speaking of Darkness Revolution, this is the finals of the 3D Trios title tournament, those two teams I mentioned before. Kelly, do we think Darkness Revolution claims another title?
Yes.
And then a fun match, a match I'm looking forward to. Mayu Iwatani will face off in a singles match against Rin. That's right, the recently returned Rin Katakura will appear. And once again, Marigold saved by bringing in good, marvelous wrestlers to make their shows better.
Did you see the title match they're going to run soon?
I did not, no.
It's I'm not sure when it is. I kind of figured it'd be the same show as the United Nations or whatever the fuck it's called title.
United National.
That's it. Chiaki is going to face Miki Ueno in a belt versus hair match.
Oh, is that the show?
I don't know.
I think it is the show, but the graphic does not say it's belt versus hair.
Okay. Maybe it isn't.
Which is why I didn't include it, because I was like, that seems like a match I don't want to watch.
Yeah, maybe it isn't like belt versus hair, and they were just shooting their own angle, and Rossi is like, you weren't kissing. Bad idea.
The Marigold website simply says singles match. Miko Aono versus Chiaki.
Oh, okay, weird. So not even title match.
Nope, it just says singles match.
Sure.
And it is fourth from the top, so I'm assuming if they were doing a hair and title match, it would be the main event.
It must be a title eliminator.
Could be. And then Ice Ribbon has a show on the 23rd. That will have a tag title match. Misa Kagura and Manami Katsu will take on Makoto and Sumika Yanagawa. Kelly, what is coming up in Choco Pro?
On the 25th, Choco Pro's got Choco Pro 505 Choco Museum. Main event of that one's going to be a Super Asia title match. Rina Yamashita defense against Chon Shiryu. Semi-main will be the Asia Dream tag titles. Chie Koshikawa and Haganai Shino defend against Obihiro Sayaka and Hiyori Iwata. And then also on that show will be Mei Suruga versus Sarah Phoenix, who we just saw on Tokyo Joshi.
All right, so that is all the Joshi for this episode, but I throw it over to Kelly now for Kelly's Corner.
I got to meet Pikachu. That was cool.
Great.
I was at Toy Fair. We were at the Pokemon booth, you know, shooting video. And the woman that was leading us through was just like, hold on, guys. Let me get Pikachu out here. And we're like, okay. And then Pikachu comes out, and Pikachu does a little dance, and then we took a photo with him, and it was wonderful.
Well, there you go. A highlight of Kelly's trip to New York where we didn't see each other.
Yeah, I was far busier with Toy Fair stuff than I was expecting, and then I got sick, and I didn't feel like doing anything.
Yeah, I assumed, because also my girlfriend was like, you're not hanging out with Kelly, and I was like, well, he is here working.
Yeah.
So... And also it was Valentine's Day, so I was like, the option would be I bail on you and go hang out with Kelly.
And she was like, yeah, do it.
Yeah, she's like, get away from me. No, but Kelly, you're always in my heart, which is most important.
We're together always.
Yes. Unlike the tag teams of Tokyo Joshi.
Yes.
All right, that is all for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, but we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time to talk even more Joshi. So until then, stay cool.
Goodbye, everybody.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungi every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.